make sure everything's organized. As Pete was saying, we finished one series and we're starting a new one today. As a link between the two, we could say that Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." You will receive power. In the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 13, it speaks of David, and it says, "Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power." So the Spirit was at work there in the Old Testament, as he is today in our lives. The new series, as Pete said, is David, a Man After God's Own Heart. David has always seemed to me such an encouragement. He's so human somehow. He had his failures as well as his successes. He wasn't perfect, and when he failed, he was always ready to acknowledge his sin and seek forgiveness. His overall desire was always to please God. And I wonder if that could be said of us. His overall desire is to please God. We have our failures. There isn't one of us here this morning that knows no sin. But like David, we can find forgiveness as we come to the Lord. Our title this morning is David, an Unseen Apprentice. He's anointed for a task, but he still has much to learn, as we do too. Only as he looked back must he have seen how God had been preparing him for what was to come. Think of all those long days and nights he'd spent with his sheep out in the wilderness. And it's only as we look back that we see how God prepares us for tasks that may lay ahead. And we need to remember that God is never in a hurry. We want to do it at once, if not sooner, the task that lays ahead. And it's something of our age. Everybody is in a hurry, a rush, a bustle to get on to get doing. But perhaps God is saying, wait until I've prepared you, trained you. It took Jesus 30 years of preparation for his 3 years of ministry. And nothing is wasted. As I look back, how could I know that when, as a young man, the chef went on strike in a farm school that I was working at as an instructor, and I had to roll up my sleeves and start cooking for 30 or 40 hungry lads, that one day the skills learned would come in useful in a Christian adventure center. God's preparation. Everything learned in life, however small, may be part of the plan for the future. Prior to 1 Samuel chapter 15, God clearly shows Saul that he is no longer fit to be king. And God withdraws his blessing from him. At the start of chapter 16, Saul is still coming to terms with this. And I want us to look at these opening verses of 1 Samuel 16. I think it's going to come up on the screen for you. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then made Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There's still the youngest," Jesse answered, "but he's tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him, and we will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy, with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. He is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel is instructed to go and find Jesse, as one of his sons is to be the next king. When he arrives, he sees Eliab the eldest, fit, strong, good looking. He seems to have everything going for him. Surely he's the one. But God says, "Don't look at the outward appearance, but look at the heart." So often, we judge people from outward appearance. And we need to learn that God sees the real person. Samuel looked at seven of Jesse's sons, but not one was quite right. So he asks, "Is there anyone else?" And Jesse admits, "Well, yes, there is the youngest. Out with the sheep. Surely you don't want to see him. He's only worth looking after a few sheep. He can hardly be a king." We so often write people off, don't we? "Oh, he's not worthy to be a king. He's a nobody." But God knows differently. David's preparation had begun behind the scenes, whilst out there shepherding. And that was no easy task. Out in the wilderness, it was a daily hunt for enough pasture, something for the sheep to eat. And there were wild animals, even lions, out in the wilderness. Lions who wouldn't think twice to take a sheep or two, or even a shepherd boy. He had much to learn, and quickly, if he and his sheep were to survive on those long, cold nights under the stars, as he listened for every sound and stared out into the darkness for the sign of any movement, he must have cried out to God and sought his protection and care. And he found a God who did care. He found a God who loved him and protected him, and a God who was preparing him for what was to come. We live in a wild world. Often there's not much love or kindness about. It's a wilderness, our world. There's much cruelty and selfishness. The cry of so many is, what can I get? What can I get for myself? Not, what can I give? God is out there in the darkness, and we need never be afraid and alone. We have much to learn, if only we're ready and open to his call. Daily practicing the presence of God. I wonder how David felt when Samuel suddenly produced his horn of oil and poured it over him. Why me? Why not one of my brothers? Surely they're far more worthy. And Samuel 16:13 tells us that from that day the Spirit of the Lord had come upon David in power. He was a changed person. And we too can know that same Spirit empowering us in the service of our God. Perhaps we think of ourselves as a nobody. How could I be of service to God? But God says, I will give you the power. There was quite a gap between David's anointing and him becoming king. In fact, he had to learn first to serve Saul, the man he was going to replace. In this time, David learned how to calm Saul's troubled soul. If you've got time, perhaps this afternoon, you might read in the following chapters. David's character was being formed. I wonder, did he know when he learnt to play the harp? Probably just to amuse himself during those long lonely days and nights in the wilderness, that one day he would be playing to comfort and calm a king. Society today can be very self-centered. Self-sufficient and individualistic. The underlying message is that we should do all we can to push ourselves forward. Think of the contestants in the TV program The Apprentice. Doesn't matter who we tread on or push aside to get to the top. It's a pretty unpleasant spectacle, really, if you've watched it. David, however, was content to be quietly faithful and rely on God's strength, God's timing and ability to plan his future. God often takes us through circumstances that will help prepare us for what is ahead. Sometimes the things we pass through can be very painful. Illness, bereavement, hard times financially, and times of difficulty in so many ways. How do we face up to these things? Why is God allowing this, perhaps we ask? Do we just moan and complain? Or do we ask, what is God teaching us? Things that in the future will give us an empathy with others in need. Some people just seem to somehow sail through life. Everything's easy for them. Things just seem to fall into their lap. But they're not prepared for trouble if it suddenly comes their way, and it can break them. The question is, are we teachable? Are we ready to face whatever life may bring? Or do we blame others or even God? I'm sure you've heard the cry, why does God allow these things to happen? I was talking to someone the other day who said they'd given up going to church because how could there be a God if he allowed all the terrible things happening today in Ukraine? I gently suggested perhaps Putin had more to do with that than God. But there are people like that. As we face the hard knocks of life, do we learn from them, making us stronger to face what the future may bring? David was preparing to be king, to lead his people in battle and in their everyday lives. What does life hold for you and for me? Whatever it is, great or small, have we the ability to learn from God and to wait for him to unfold his promises to us? We're all, as Christians, as it were, God's apprentices, learning from him day by day. The closer we draw to him and listen obediently to his voice, the more we will be prepared for whatever is to come. Are you a man or a woman after God's own heart? An unseen apprentice learning and preparing for what God has planned for you. David was one of God's unseen apprentices, learning all that he needed for the trials and tribulations that lay ahead. As we go on in this series, we shall see how all this unfolds. Thank you very much.